Okay, we're recording. I got my notes up, and we're turning to Exodus, chapter 34. There's a couple of details in this chapter I want to look at. I want somebody to read Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14.
For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous,
yep,
is a jealous God.
Okay. Numerous times throughout the Bible, God refers to who He is to be called. Each of those situations has a different significance. When God said to Moses, "Say, I am has sent you," that expresses His eternity in and His eternal nature. Always has been, always will be. So guess what? You better listen. Okay? A lot of times people kind of They kind of want to go off on a tangent about how we've got to know God's name. You know, there is no significance in there that I've ever found that it's something that says that we need to know that. I want to tell you something. Everything you need to know to go to heaven is found in the pages of the New Testament. Don't go beyond that. And so a lot of times people can get off on tangents and go in directions that the Bible doesn't say. And so just be careful about who you listen to and what they say. Many times I've heard people say things and they make statements, you know, in the religious world and they can't be backed up with truth. I had a Bible study with somebody this afternoon, and we had a great time. But the lady mentioned that, you know, I've always heard this, and she explained what it was. And she said, but I've really been concerned because she said, I've really never seen that in the Bible. I said, well, you come to the right place because I'm not going to teach you that because it's not in the Bible. Okay? And so, so at any rate, we had a great time together, and so I said, when we get to that subject, I said, we'll study that, all right? But there's a lot of people out there that teach things that are not so. So as you hear or read a paragraph, watch every word and say, does that agree with what the Bible says? Does that make sense? Okay, and I want you to remember that. Be very critical thinker, but be very kind and meek and humble in your teaching of others. Okay? Because you can drive people away simply because you don't express things in a loving and a kind way. Or you're telling them things they don't understand. Now let's go back to the name deal. Alright? God is a what?
Jealous.
And so His name is
jealous.
So what do you, what's the deal here? Jealous? Well, you know, I'm jealous of you because you got a nice shirt that I don't have. Is that right?
I always thought it was because you have a sin. Jealousy is a sin.
Right.
Guess what? You're right. So how can God be a jealous God and not sin?
He's jealous for our affection.
He's jealous for our affection. Okay. In other words, explain that a little bit.
The same way if Brian were to go and pay attention to another woman.
A girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. Dorothy fusses about the girlfriend.
I would have a problem with that, and I don't think I'd be sinning to have a problem with that.
Oh, so you might be jealous if he gave his affections to another woman?
Yes.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Would you be wrong for doing that?
No.
Would anybody think that Shelley would be wrong for doing that? So now apply that to God being a jealous God. Does he expect your affection?
Yes.
Does he expect your devotion?
We're his bride.
We are his bride.
He watches and protects us.
That's right. He does an awful lot for us. Okay? You know, I think of Hosea, and he took the woman, the bride of harlotry, and she went back into her harlotry, and he went back and he got her and he brought her home. You know, I don't want to have killed her, but he took her back. Now, God's always willing to take us back if we will come back. But I'm going to tell you something. God expects devotion. He expects devotion. And I got news for you. He's like a jealous wife. What's the phrase? There's no
fury
like the fury of a jealous woman. I'll tell you what. I think we all can relate with that. Okay? And so, but that's God. When Nadab and Abihu said, well, God said to take the fire off the altar and offer the incense. But we're going to do something a little bit different, because really it don't matter. I mean, just because he said that, no big deal. What'd God do? He burned them up. And so if you or I decide to say, well, God said that, but we're going to do it this way, and we'll say, it's okay, God. You don't need to worry about it. You know, I'll just hang with this girlfriend for a while. God ain't going to have none of it. That's a good illustration. You know? And so, I appreciate that. But the thing is, let's read a little bit more. Let's go down through verse 17. So it's 34, 14 through 17. To kind of get more of the context, see how it fits.
Thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. They shall make thee no molten gods.
Okay. God doesn't want any split devotions, does he? Okay. I think we need to keep that in mind. And we need to put it into the realm of what does God tell us today? Okay. God, you know, we could be... we can have a girlfriend on the side. We think, okay, well, God, you know, what's God matter if we do it a little bit different? Okay? When God specifies, does God want it his way?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that unreasonable? He's God. He made us.
That's not where God's grace comes in either. That's taught sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, he'll let me do because he's got grace. Yeah. That's a good point. His grace comes in so that we can change your life and come back to him. Because we are ugly sinners. And it's the blood of Christ that stops that. Okay? And I'm glad we got the blood of Christ. You know, all of us, we can look back at our past and we hang our head in shame. Okay? And that's good. But we need to pick up our head because we are changing our life and living for God, now we have grace. It ain't about the past. It's about today and tomorrow.
But the past still haunts you.
Yes, and it needs to, honestly.
Yes.
The past needs to haunt you.
Person in line.
Yeah, and I don't like the past.
God.
Okay, I still have my memories of the past mistakes and sins, and it bothers me. It really does. But it's a stark reminder to not go back.
Well,
Okay? It's a stark reminder of the pain that sin causes.
Love that does everything else to you.
What's that?
Love makes you think about the old days.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we need those memories, and they're good. Let's just hang in there, and let's remember that God wants our devotion. And let's do our best to give it to Him.
I think those last few verses we read were... It just talks again about what was reiterated in the New Testament when He said, don't be unequally yoked one to another. Because... He knows how easily we follow the person that we love, and they could lead us to sin, take us away from Him.
See, and I'm so glad Dorothy's a faithful Christian. I adore her. I may tease her mercilessly. I may give her a hard time. She gets to be the brunt of a lot of jokes. A lot of times I make statements, and I've explained to her. You know, sometimes I use my relationship with her and some of the things that drive me crazy. And... a lot of times there's men that think if there's any little thing that's not right, it's time to bail. And I make that statement because even we have little problems we work through. And so I think in marriage we need to understand, as in any relationship, just like, you know, you and me, we have, from time to time, we're going to have little things that will come up. And we say, well, you know, I don't really like that and I'm not happy about it, but we work through it because we love the Lord, right? And that's so important in the Lord's church, because none of us are perfect and we all make mistakes. And we need to be as loving and patient with one another as we can. Sometimes you get hurt. And sometimes it's hard. And we just need to hang in there and do what God says. Okay. So, Moses comes down from the mountain. And verse 29. And through 35. Let's read the whole thing.
Now it was so, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all of the children of Israel came near, and he gave them, as commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he wouldn't take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel wherever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him.
Okay, so now remember, Moses was in the mountain in the presence of God, and there's it calls the skin of Moses' face to shine. Okay? Now, because of this, he, from that point forward, took a veil and put over his face. Mike?
I thought he aged after he seen it.
It doesn't say that he aged. In fact, 40 years later, his strength was still the same when he died. We'll get to that in Deuteronomy. But his strength was still there at age 120. Right now, he's 80, 82, 80, 81, because they're still at the mountains, so he's about 80, 81 years old. And so, this is probably early in the time when they get, because they got to the mountain, he went up, came down, broke the tablets, We got a little time there. He goes back up. He sees God, and he comes down. His face is shining. So we're right about soon after they left the left land of Egypt, because it's after this that they're going to get busy and gather all the articles for the tabernacle and make it all. So they leave at about a year. And so that's something. So he's about 80 years old. But no, it wasn't his strength. He didn't age. But it's just his face. His face shone. Kathy?
Because God was so brilliant and bright, was that like, did they mean like he looked like he had a bad sunburn or something like that?
No, it seemed from... It shone. I mean, it was a shine, some kind. We're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to follow up on this a little bit. And because there's actually... This is where the Old Testament is important a lot of times, because it helps us to understand the whole story. All right? And so, just this part... It doesn't tell us the story, and it doesn't tell us why we need to figure all that out. Remember, we studied Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael. There was a reason for that, all right? Ishmael, who was cast out, is the Old Testament. Isaac, who was kept and was the son of promise, is the church, the New Testament. And so the New Testament's kept, and the Old Testament is thrown out. We don't live by the Old Testament. But by the same token, the Old Testament gives us hope, and that's why we read and study. And so there's a reason. It's an allegory. And so that's what this is. So we'll finish up in the New Testament and see what does all this mean then. Okay? And actually, it's really basically the same thing as Isaac and Ishmael. Very similar. All right? So, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It is 160. Now, this is the New Testament fulfillment explained of the face of Moses that shone. And it will actually tell us why he put the veil on his face. Which you don't even get that at all, I believe, in the account in Exodus. So we had to come. See, the Old Testament was a mystery. Nobody understood. The New Testament is the mystery revealed. And so it's through the New Testament that we can see this. So this is kind of a lengthy reading. And I want to... let's go ahead and start in verse 3. And so let's just kind of read down through. The focus of Moses is in verse 13. So somebody read that. We'll see what's going on. And then we'll go back up to 3 and start over. Somebody read verse 13.
Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away.
Okay, now, let's get to rest, and then we'll come back and piece this together. Okay, so somebody start in verse 3. So we know that the application here is Moses and this veil that he put on his face over that was shining. So start in verse 3, and somebody start reading. All right, now notice here, okay? So I want to fill you in as we go. So I'm going to do some interrupting, okay? Now, you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in what?
Stone.
Tables of stone. What does that remind us of? The Ten Commandments. That's the Old Testament, okay? All right, and so now keep going.
Ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God.
servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life.
All right, back up just a little bit. All right. Who also, our sufficiency, which is of God, who also made us able ministers of the what?
New covenant.
Not of?
The letter.
Okay, so remember what we're talking about. We're comparing the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the letter here is talking about the Old Testament. Okay? Not of the letter, but of what? The Spirit. Okay, and it's going to tell us, I believe it's in this passage. I get so many passages as I study. But Christ is the Spirit. Okay? It's the New Testament. All right? So not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For what? No, what's before that?
The letter kills.
So under the Old Testament, if you disobeyed it, what?
You're guilty.
But if you give in to the Spirit or Christ, what happens? You get life. Isn't that neat? Now, that's not a license to sin. Okay? I'm not saying we won't sin. I'm saying it's a license to have forgiveness and to do our best to live for God. Okay? And that's the Spirit that gives life. All right? Keep going. All right. Now what? The ministration of death, written and graven where? So what was that?
Ten Commandments
or the Old Testament. And of course, what's kind of neat is the Ten Commandments are just Ten Commandments. The rest of those things are explaining those Ten Commandments. Okay? And so as you go down and read through Exodus and it explains to you what that all means. But so basically the old law is Genesis through Deuteronomy, kind of. But it's the way we group it. But it's in Exodus where we get that law, and they had to live by that law, and it was explained. So, all right, so keep going. Start in verse 7.
Ministry of death, and when clear the grave on stones, came with glory.
Okay. Now think about that Old Testament law. It was written and engraven in stones. What did it come with? What was it?
Rules.
Huh?
Were it rules?
Death sentence.
What does God say it was?
Glorious.
Okay. So, yeah, and I understand what you're all saying, but I'm always looking at the word that God put there. Because, and what he's saying, yes, it was death. Okay, the Old Testament. But when we look at the law itself, it was amazing. Here, Moses went to the mountain. We've got this great establishment. We got God that was blessing the people that followed that law. We got Moses that got into the presence of God and his face shone. We got all these things that happened. They walked through the Red Sea. They overcome all these enemies over and over and over. This was a glorious law. It was amazing. All right? Keep going. Okay. It was so glorious, and this is where the face of Moses comes in. It was so glorious when Moses was in the presence, it made his face to shine. Okay? Can you imagine being in something that amazing that the skin of your face shone? He was in the presence of God. And so it's relating that was so wonderful that it made his face shone. Now read that last part again. Last phrase in verse 7.
So the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was.
I knew that was somewhere. I looked and looked and looked, and I've read it in a different translation. It's which glory was to be done away. But this is where...
So how long old was his face bright?
That's the point. As we go down through this text, we're going to learn that Moses put the veil over his face because he didn't want the people to see that the glory was fading, which appears to me, as the way it is worded, that that shining to the face of Moses was dimming. Moses put that veil over his face so that they couldn't see that the old law was dimming away. Now you'll see that in the text.
Keeping the secret then.
He was keeping a secret, but the reason he kept it because their hearts were blind. And there remained to that day, and still remains to this day, a veil over their hearts because they can't see that it was to be done away. You'll see it in the text, okay? So I'm going a little ahead.
So is that part of the reason why the Israel women are always covered up?
I don't know. Don't know of any relationship there. That was just a societal thing where they were hiding their shame, you know, and that's an Eastern thing that's still part of the culture in that country. So I don't think that had anything to do with this. I've never heard of that anyway.
Just asking the question.
Yeah, ask the questions, because if you're not asking it, somebody else is. So go ahead and ask it. So all questions are good. Okay, so now let's keep going. Verse 8.
How is the ministry of the Spirit failed to be even more glorious?
Okay, so now, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather or more glorious? Now, what's the ministration of the Spirit? We just studied that.
The law.
Which law?
The old law.
No, we're more glorious than the old law. What's more glorious than the old law?
The new law.
The new law, the Spirit, law of the Spirit, Jesus, okay? And so in other words, this new law is more glorious than the old law, okay? You and I are blessed because the mystery's been revealed. We can actually be the ones to go into the throne room of God and approach Him. They couldn't do that, only the priest. Okay? We've got blessings they didn't have. All right? We've also got eternal life that they didn't have. Okay? So keep going.
For the ministry of condemnation has glory.
Okay, what's the ministration of condemnation? What was the ministry of death?
Old Testament.
Okay, keep going.
Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory.
All right, so notice here, we're kind of switching up terms a little bit, but it says, if that ministration of condemnation, the ministry of death, okay, if that had glory, this new ministration of righteousness exceeds in glory. So think about that for just a minute. We have and are blessed with the ministration of righteousness. That's the New Testament. Okay, so he's switching up terms, but what's kind of nice in Bible study, as you see the Bible switching up terms interchangeably, it gives us a little bit better understanding of how God thinks. All right, so keep going.
For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that's fasted.
Okay, so watch that. That which had glory, what had glory? It doesn't even compare with the new. Okay, and think about that. See, he's trying to get this point across. Now keep going.
For if that which fades away was with glory, much more than which remains is in glory.
Yeah, keep going.
Therefore, having such a hope, we use gratefulness in our speech. And we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away.
Okay, so in other words, that other previous verse that talks about it fading away, okay, Moses put that veil over his face not to hide the shine, but to hide the fade. Now let's finish this chapter. Okay, because I know we're out of time, but I want to finish it before we quit.
But their minds were hardened.
Their minds were what?
Hardened.
Keep going.
For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same door remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ.
Okay. So, in other words, even today, the Jews won't have anything to do with the New Testament. The veil is still there. The veil is only pulled away in Jesus Christ. You got to come to Christ for the veil to be gone. Okay, keep going.
To this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their heart. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
I told you that it would say here later that the Lord is the Spirit. Okay, and that's Christ. Keep going.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit.
Okay, we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, is what it means, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Old Testament's rich, but you need the New Testament to help to understand a lot of what's going on, because they didn't know, and without the new, you can't catch it. Guys, you have a more glorious covenant that you can come to Christ. Recognize that glory, respect it, and give it every single ounce of energy that you have to live for it and seek it. I'm done.